With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, I'm Johnny Owen, and this is the Best 11 podcast from TalkSport. Mark Webster and I ask our guests 11 questions all about their love of football, from their earliest memories of the game to how their matchday rituals have changed over the years. And at the end, they'll tell us their best 11, a team made up of anyone who's ever played for their club, along with a manager of their choice. Will they force players from a different era into a 4-3-3, or will they keep it simple with a 4-4-2? We'll find out very shortly. Our guest today is a multi-talented actor, comedian, author, poet and DJ. He rose to national fame in the brilliant Red Dwarf series. He's also the presenter of the cult Robot Wars series and is now rocking the decks as one of the best soul and funk DJs out there. It is, of course, the fantastic Craig Charles. Craig, welcome to your Best 11. Can you start by telling us who you support and why?
My team is Liverpool, obviously. Liverpool born and bred, really. My brother supported Everton, and I went Liverpool, and I'm glad I did.
It's funny how many times we get this, where somebody has an older brother that supports one team, and the younger brother will often have sort of the attitude of going, I'm going to support somebody
just,
opposite of
that
team.
Just to be the
brother, you know what I mean? Which is quite nice. Do you know what your earliest memories of football are, of going to Liverpool or attending a game?
I think I was born in 1964. My earliest true memory was the Liverpool Arsenal FA Cup final. You know, Charlie George lying on the ground.
Yes.
And there was a kid. I lived in a housing estate called Cantrell Farm, and it was all split into little boroughs. And I lived in Barons Hay, and there was a kid in Barons Hay who had a colour telly, because we all had black and white. You know, yeah. Reader Fusion. 10 pence in the meter, that kind of thing. You had metered tellies, you put 10 pence in and twist it, the coin would drop and the telly would come on.
Yeah.
And you know what? It always run out just before the big reveal.
The ghost.
But this kid had a colour TV and everybody hated him anyway. They were the posh kids on the block kind of thing. They're only posh because his dad had a car, you know. But they had a colour telly and everyone was really nice to him that week, so he could all go around to watch it. So he had a house crammed full of all the kids on the estate watching Liverpool get beat. Charlie George broke my heart.
Yes.
And, you know, and so that was my first true memory. And then Cancel Farm is a bit of a walk, but not that long a walk, not when you're dead young, to Melwood Training Ground.
All
autograph books to Melwood. And hang about. And I've got to say, Kevin Keegan, who was the biggest star in the team, he always stopped. I think I've got about 15 Kevin Keegan autographs.
He started to recognise you after about 8, I should imagine, didn't he, Craig?
Hi, Craig, how's your dad?
Kevin Keegan knew my dad.
Yeah. Then, of course, the big memory was the 3-0 against Newcastle in 74.
Yeah.
And I was just turning 10 then. They were great memories, those, that early Liverpool team. Yeah. Keegan was always my hero. And when he went, I was brokenhearted. But when he went, Dalglish joined.
Unbelievable.
And it took...
Unbelievable.
Just went
somebody
next.
Better.
Not a bad replacement,
yeah,
eh?
It's amazing, really, isn't it?
It is. It just went next level. And then we won everything, didn't we?
Me too.
And I thought it was going to be like that forever. I thought Liverpool were going to be the best team in the world forever. Because when you're that young and all you know is success and victory and medals and winning the league and all that stuff, you think it's never going to end. And then it took us 30 years to win the championship again. And when we did win, none of us could go.
Oh, I know.
It was just a nightmare.
I bet at least you probably rubbed your brother's nose in it while you could when you were little. That's the important thing.
Yeah. I remember I used to live up down south, a place called Old Basildon by Southampton. And I used to drink in this little pub called the Jolly Roger. And Jimmy Case walked in one day, and I became, because he lives around there, and I became really friendly with Jimmy Case. We'd snip out for a few snifters in the afternoon. And one of my big memories was, it was when Souness was playing for Middlesbrough and Jimmy was playing for us, and they got into a barney in the middle of the pitch. Souness had him by the neck, held him on the ground. And I asked him what that was about, and he said he gave him a sneaky elbow in the chin, and Souness saw red. And he was just telling me all the stories. Football's changed an awful lot, that's all I can tell you.
Yes.
Yeah, I think Graham Souness in particular would be making his way in the game just now, would he?
It's really
not for him.
Can you remember the first Liverpool game you went to, Greg?
That might have been it. The Middlesbrough game.
Right.
And you know what? I got knocked out at that, and I got passed down by the crowd and watched the second. And watched the second half on the touchline. I got passed over the crowd's heads because there was just this surge forward, and I was about the height of remember the crush barriers?
Yeah.
Crush barriers were kind of head height to me. I just went bang right into it. I just got knocked right out. And they passed me down, and I watched the second half from the touchline. It was absolutely brilliant.
Oh, nice. You try that trick every time.
Exactly, best seat in the house.
Oh dear, I fainted again.
And did you have a favourite player as a kid? Was it Kevin Keegan?
Kevin Keegan when I was a kid, definitely. Yeah. And then obviously Dalgleish. I Terry McDermott as well. I loved Keegan and McDermott. You know, that team. I mean, Sammy Lee. I was in the scouts with Sammy.
Yeah.
So we all followed Sammy a lot. Like, we used to go camping with Sammy, and this is before he made it. You know what I mean? I used to look. He's fat. He's round. He bounces around the ground.
Sammy Lee, that's the song. There's a great photograph, Craig, I seen the other day that he's won a major trophy. He might have even been a European Cup, and he's invited five of his mates from the area of Liverpool where he's from into the dressing room. And there's these five lads and Sammy Lee, and you just see he's a proper Scouser. You know, he's got his mates in the dressing room. It's a beautiful photograph.
And he's a beautiful man. You know, he never forgot his roots.
No,
he's always been. He's always been Liverpool through and through, you know.
Did you share the field of play with him, Craig, when you was a kid then? Were you handy yourself?
Well, you call it a field of play, but it was like a campsite in Arthur. Jumping over tent pegs and tent poles and stuff like that. And we're all wearing camping boots, all of us trying to kick the shit out of him. No wonder he's so tough. He played in campsites, man, with scouts trying to nick the ball off him. All wearing hiking boots.
Brilliant.
And they were great days, actually. But you could see that, because we all fancied ourselves as decent footballers growing up. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you could see he was just a level above, you know. And you could just tell he was going to make it. He doesn't look like your classic footballer. Do you know what I mean?
No.
Because he's tiny.
Low centre of gravity. A bit like Maradona, they said, didn't they? You know, similar thing.
Craig, what were your match day rituals when you were sort of first going to football? And I'm going to assume they've changed a bit now. What are they now?
Well, to be honest, I very rarely get to live games now, especially obviously since COVID, but I very rarely get to live games now. I've got great memories of, like, you know, the whole cops screaming, singing Smeghead at me, which I will take to just a Smeghead, Smeghead. Honestly, it was a tearful moment. It was like...
Never been so happy to be insulted in all your life.
we were copite, Craig. Is that where you went? Or you were an Annie Road boy? Which was your part of the ground you went to?
I was the cop, mate. I was the cop. I was scared of the Annie Road end, to be honest. Because the Annie Road end was next to the away supporters as well. And if it was, and when I was going to football, to be fair, there was a fair about hooliganism going on. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And there was always fights breaking out over that end.
Yeah.
So I did like the idea of being in the cop.
Yeah.
I love that idea. You know, I love the fashion. You know, I think Liverpool invented that football casual fashion as well.
I agree. Because the casual, it was definitely Liverpool. I think it started.
It's because we got to go to, because back in the day, it was only the winners of the league that actually got to go and play in Europe.
That's right.
So we'd go and we'd bring back trim trams and all these, like, you know, all this sort of, all these clothes from abroad and stuff like that. And we really did kick off that whole football casual look.
That Liverpool haircut, the Bowie low cover with the flick that sort of hung over one eye.
Yes.
It was like, but you see a thousand lads with that haircut. It was such a menacing
the
haircut
wedge,
they all
that
had.
Was the wedge.
Oh, the flick, the wedge. It was a wedge at the back and a flick at the front. Yeah, all the bad boys in my school had haircuts like that, I tell you. And you have to walk with your head lopsided to keep the hair out of your eye.
Which is intriguing, because, of course, it's the look of a sort of late 18th century romantic poet, isn't it? But, of course, they were the tough guys.
Yes, exactly, yeah. You'd assume they would be the ones that, you know, but it was the complete opposite, really. Yeah. You know what I mean? No, you're right, yeah.
Everyone was kickers and pods and stuff like that, you know what I mean? Yeah. And pink cords.
Oh, I've remember that name for ages. Yeah. Pod shoes, wow.
Kickers and pods. And Clarks. I was told as a kid to wear Clarks, and you were annoyed about it. And then you went to Liverpool, and all the cool kids had Clarks on. So you went back to Wales going, can I have a pair of Clarks, please? And my old man was like, I tried for years to get you in there.
Well, all the Oasis crowd brought them back in the early 90s.
Yeah.
Well, do you know what I mean? Because they were always in Clarks. Yeah, Liverpool had a different kind of fashion going on. It was like, it was like a different part of the world. I mean, at one stage, all the girls wore kilts.
And
it was like it was on the news that like Liverpool's got this fashion where all the girls wear kilts and all the guys wear, I've got a flick and a wedge, and it made it onto the news. Wow. What's going on in Liverpool?
Well, they had those really unique shops. Wade's, I think, was their shop, wasn't it? Wade's, where you could get trainers and certain clothes. And so the guy that ran that said, I used to go to Europe because there were so many kids after it in Liverpool to bring back the clobber and the trainers they wanted to wear. Amazing stories, really.
That's it. I mean, it was a lot of Italian stuff. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think you know the Italian ultras and because it was a very hooligan based sort of time as well. And I think a lot of the Liverpool lads hooked up with the Italian ultras once they'd stopped kicking each other's heads in, and they'd send each other packages of like t-shirts and summer jackets and stuff like that.
Have you got a favourite piece of memorabilia, Craig? Have you got something like that, or a scarf or something that's important to you?
I've got a replica UEFA medal signed by Stevie G for me.
Oh, nice.
But seeing as I'm only talking to you guys, I do lie sometimes and tell people it's the real thing. You know, but...
We won't say anything.
But yeah, he was such
an important player to you as Liverpool fans, Stevie Gerrard, because again, a local boy and all the rest of it, and kind of dragged you through periods where, like you're saying, Liverpool wasn't the team that it once was, but stayed with you, didn't he?
He certainly did. And what an ambassador for us. I'm sure one day he'll come back and manage us. I don't agree with him going to Rangers, like, you know what I mean? But like,
he's learning his trade, Craig.
No, it's
for you.
All right, but like, you know, but he's got to learn his trade somewhere. So, and Souness went to Rangers as well, didn't he? So, you know, I wish he'd gone to Celtic, like, but I don't want to stop tearing an argument on the radio now.
I'm not having a Liverpool man arguing about the subtle nuances of less a really, really successful and quite successful. That's not that hurts me, especially because of Steven Gerrard and West Ham in the FA Cup final. I'm taking none of this off of you, Charles. So trust me.
That volley.
That was like a dagger through his heart then, Craig. He sat next to me. That volley.
He hit that so hard. And remember, it just stayed at the same height. I've never seen a goal like it. Oh, my God. I was doing a bit for Sky on that day. And, that was just... Oof. Sorry, Mark.
No. I got to say, Craig, as well as a Welshman, so many Liverpudlians come on to me and say they miss Cardiff as a place to go for finals because they used to stay all weekend, didn't they, the Scousers, and love it in the city, you know, from Friday to Monday. Sometimes for a week they'd come down.
I went swimming in the ornamental pool. There's a fountain. What's that hotel? It's got a fountain. It begins with C, the hotel.
Oh, the Copthorne, is it? I'm trying to think where it was.
The Copthorne.
Yeah, yeah, it. It's got, yeah.
I had like an ornamental. I was swimming in that after that game. I used to love, and we had a great record.
Yeah, you did, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I mean, the Michael Owen final against Arsenal. I brought a mate of mine to that game. He's an Arsenal fan. And when Michael came alive and scored those two, I mean, I don't know how we won that game. I mean, Jamie Carragher knocking the ball around the side of the net with his elbow. We would never have won that game if VAR had been around, put it that way.
Too late now. It's all too late for the likes of me. Right. You're back. I mean, it's 30 years of hurt. I'll give you that one, Craig. Your brother's been out to look at you and laugh for a bit, but you're okay now. So who's your favourite player in this current superb Liverpool team?
At the moment, Jota. At the moment.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, he's been fantastic.
What a start. Yeah.
Oh, if he carries on the way he started, man, he is going to be a legend on Merseyside. But the front three... I've always been brilliant. It's a proper team. Even Jordan Henderson, I love. Do you know what I mean? I love him for his work rate and his solidity, you know. And Salah and Mane are just awesome. I wish Bobby would score a bit more, but like you can't have everything.
He's got those teeth now as well. You know what I mean? So he's. I like the way Klopp said the other day. He said, "I seen Bobby's, you know, his German accent. I seen his Bobby's teeth, and I wanted to set to myself."
That's his problem. The defenders can see him coming.
He's like cat's eyes, isn't he?
In night game, you can imagine. That's brilliant. Oh, I can ask you, Craig, what's your favourite ever Liverpool kit? Because there's been some beauties, haven't there?
Yeah, I like the white away kit. I do like that one. I wear it when I'm DJing sometimes. It's nice and bright and shiny, so it works well. The DJ,
the 70s, you know, one, I mean, sort of the retro one or modern one.
I kind of go, I prefer retro, to
yeah, honest. Yeah. That the one they wore in the late 70s and for the away kit was a beautiful black shorts, wasn't it? White top, red collar, wasn't it?
That's it. That is such a cool top now. Are the places that sell those replica kits?
Yeah, I mean, I there's an whole industry online, on the internet. It's like, there's obviously there's shops that sell specifically retro stuff, but there's actually a whole load of people that try to collect the originals, and they're the holy grail.
Be very careful, Craig. Before you enter that dark world, make sure you go with plenty of money, because you're going to come out with none of it.
As you can imagine as well, Liverpool stuff is highly prized because obviously the size of the club and all the rest of it. But I do know that some of those, there's blokes who go around literally and their livelihood is collecting old retro tops and selling them on.
Oh yeah, and sort of like box fresh like old trainers, you know, still in the cellophane. Yeah. Oh dear. Listen, now you mention, actually, let's briefly sojourn onto this. You mentioned obviously the fact that you're out DJing. It's such a big part of your current life, this. So, are you loving the DJ? And I guess the whole thing about putting together a compilation album, proper labour of love, that, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's funk and soul as well. And look, see, my radio shows are all based or grounded in the golden era of black American music, you know. But it's mainly the European and worldwide response to that music of the 60s and 70s. So it's not a history lesson, these compilations I put together. The kind of, on this new one, Trunk of Funk Volume 1, there's about five older tunes, sort of Miriam McCabe and Patrice Rushen, Forget Me Nots and stuff like that. P.P. Arnold, Medicated Goo. But the rest of it is all 21st century by bands that are recording now, touring now. Well, you know, will be again, we hope. So it's not a history lesson. What I try and do is, because there's so much media now, there's so much stuff getting thrown at you. A lot of stuff just flies under the radar and gets missed. So I try and find songs that I think should have been smash, stone cold killer hits. Yeah. And put them on. So there's about 15 tunes on the new LP that you won't have heard of, but you should have, because honestly, they're stone cold killers. And then there's about five tunes on it that I think you don't hear on the radio enough, because a lot of radio stations are quite lazy. Do you know what I mean? And they'll you know, if you're playing a Stevie tune, they'll have about five famous Stevie tunes in their core, and they'll never dig deeper. I like to dig deeper and find stuff that the reason it wasn't a hit was not because it wasn't any good. It was because it just flew under the radar.
I should just clarify here. He means Wonder and not Gerard when he says Stevie. Stevie Gerard's recording career, I don't think existed.
Exactly, yeah, yeah. It's funny, actually, Craig, because I did... I'm a big fan of the show and everything you do, but it's quite interesting. We've had some great people on Best 11, this segment of the show. But there was a lot of excitement amongst my mates when I said you were coming on, who are massive fans of the show. Did you ever imagine that you doing this stuff and putting the compilations together would be as popular as it is?
No, not really. I didn't, to be honest. When I first started out on Six Music, I would have got a bigger audience if I just put the CD on in my car and drove around London with my window wound down.
Yeah.
You know, and it's nearly 20 years now. So yeah. I've been doing it 18 years, and it's just steadily grown and grown.
Has, yeah.
But the thing about it is I play funk and soul,
yeah.
It's a genre that encompasses so much and such a wide ranging age group, a big demographic. You know, you come to my gigs and there's a lot of 18-year-olds, 20-year-olds, and there's 50 and 60-year-olds as well, and they're all going for it. Funk and soul is one of those things where, I mean, you can be into death metal, but you've still got three favourite soul tunes. So
it transcends, doesn't it, that music?
Yeah.
So it does. It's everybody's got a favourite soul record, like you said. And my daughter is 23 and she's a soul funk fanatic, you know, and finding stuff like you said.
New stuff and the 60s,
yeah,
exactly,
yeah.
Which is, as you say, because it's out there, Craig. But thanks very much for finding it for us and putting it all in one place. That's very, very kind of you. can I ask you, best team that isn't yours, please, Craig?
Oh, City, I suppose. The City of two seasons ago.
Yeah.
Season where you were neck and neck was extraordinary. When they were literally one draw was the difference in the last sort of 15 games between the two teams. There was no room for error, was there? It was an extraordinary finish to a title, wasn't it? Title race.
It was the way it should be, you know. It was, you know, I love it. I loved it when City claimed it on the last day of the season. Do you know what I mean? Because Man U didn't.
Yeah, the game against QPR. I noticed you mentioned Celtic as well. You got a soft spot for Celtic, Craig, you said?
Yeah, I love a bit of Celtic. I've got a lot of family in Glasgow, and they're all mad Celtic fans. They took me to one of those derbies, and we all started off in a pub called the Brazen Head.
Yeah.
I had a few libations in the, and then we got into the back of the van, and they all started banging the van. And then we got into the ground and no one watched the football. They just screamed dog's abuse at the other side.
It is an extraordinary experience, that derby, isn't it? It's nothing like it.
It is. I mean, I thought you could never replicate the vibe at Anfield on a European night. Celtic Rangers is next level stuff,
yeah,
man.
Yeah.
It's just wow. And then we all went back to the pub.
Yeah. Yes,
I like to think you did.
Yes. Yeah. Got rid of all this energy.
Get
out of the system and then go back to the pub. That's
anyway,
good,
where was
perfect,
we? Yeah,
perfect,
yeah, I like that, right.
Day out.
This is the Best 11 podcast from TalkSport.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
This is the Best 11 podcast with Johnny Owen and Mark Webster.
Right, Craig, here's the old work. OK, it's easy for you to put together your funk and soul compilations, but can you put together a Best 11?
Oh, no, you're not doing this to me.
You can have a bench. If you leave a few out and you feel bad, you can have a bit of a bench. That's a lot of... Because Liverpool is such a tough... I always think Liverpool and Man United fans is so tough because there's four players sometimes for every position. Do you know what I mean? So good luck with that, mate.
Off you go.
Can I pick Joey Jones?
Yes!
Of course
again. Joey! I love Joey.
I'm sticking him straight in your back four.
Yeah. Proper North Wales nad, but a Liverpool fan all his life. Do you know what I mean? So, yeah.
I mean... You've got to have Arnold, but then so you've got to have Robinson. You've got to have those two as fullbacks. But then we've had so many good fullbacks.
Oh, Neal, you know, four European caps. I think Neal was unbelievable.
Oh, and you know you've got Souness, but you've also got McDermott. You've also got I used to love Steve McMahon. Yeah. Oh, Steve McMahon. I mean, you've just got. It's that, I think it's too hard. I'm not. I know you want me to play this game, but I'm not going to play it.
Hold on, I'm putting McMahon as your destroyer.
Yeah. So yeah. Is it in goals? Are you going Clements in goals?
Yeah, definitely. I go Clements in goals.
Clements in goals. There we go. We can organise this.
We're gonna Joey Joe. You're centre half pairing. Let's try that.
Centre half. Well, you've got to have Van Dijk in there.
Okay. There you go. Joey Jones and Van Dijk. That's a strong centre-half pairing. That's pretty good. And it's full-backs. He's gone... Did you say you go Robertson?
Robertson
on the left. Terence Trent, Darby on the right. Alexander.
There we go. That's it. This is back four. It's a decent back four. And then in midfield, he's gone McMahon and then McDermott and Souness. That's pretty decent, isn't it?
Yeah. That looks all right, doesn't it?
You're doing all right here, you know. So you've got three... The problem is you've got now is your three men up top.
Liverpool have always struggled with strikers. I mean, you only got Dalglish, Kevin Keegan, Ian Rush, Robbie Fowler.
You've got Dalglish. Man, this is too hard. And you've got Salah.
Yeah.
Oxlade-Chamberlain.
My daughter just shouts, Oxlade-Chamberlain, because she fancied him.
I put him in. The Ox is in.
Ox is in, then. Go on.
The Ox is in. You've got two places.
You've got two places left.
I've got to go Keegan, because he was my hero.
Good shout.
Keegan. Oh, one and space left. Dalglish. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And
do you know what?
Your bench could be strong. Like you said, you've got Salah, Rush, Fowler.
Yeah.
That's a pretty decent bench.
It's a 37-man bench.
But here's the most difficult question for Liverpool fans, I always think. Who's your manager?
Yeah. Jürgen Shankly.
he's cheated.
That's brilliant.
Great Tales has remixed the manager.
That's great. That's got to go in. Jürgen Shankly. That's genius.
Jürgen Shankly, mate.
Absolutely brilliant.
Fantastic, Craig. Absolutely fantastic.
Craig, it's a pleasure to have you on. Thank you so much for joining us. Good luck with everything, and we will keep listening.
Cheers, guys. See you later.
The Best 11 podcast from Talk Sport.
Thank you for listening to the Best 11 podcast. Don't forget, we've got new episodes out every Thursday. So join us for more football memories and another Best 11 very soon.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.